Good evening, America, and good afternoon, Australia, and welcome to everyone listening from the UK, Russia, and Germany. Welcome back to Radio Tony, Tony TV. This is the Everyday Business Show. And for those of you listening on live on Facebook, Twitch, LinkedIn, and Twitter, just a reminder that Payo's listening in the background to take all of your comments, any of your questions, and provide you the links about anything that we're talking about today. We have another amazing guest today. And if you're watching us for the first time, this is the Everyday Business Show, where we talk to amazing entrepreneurs about anything and everything across the planet. And today's guest is no different. A reminder too that if you miss the live shows, you can always catch up on Binge TV Networks USA, Hero Go TV USA, and the Tony TV channel app available on all Roku, Samsung, and smart TVs across the world. Now, Dr. Vanessa Hall is a wonderful, technologically driven woman, and she is an information technology professional who loves every aspect of the technological field. She is Vice President of Technology Project Management, PNC Bank, and the owner of Crossroads Information Technology Group. It's an IT group. Dr. Hall's educational background includes a Bachelor of Science in Mechanical Engineering and Technology, an MBA, a PhD in Information Technology Management. Her certifications include PMP, which is Project Management Professional, a CSM, which is a Certified Scrum Master. I only know these names because my husband is a computer programmer, so I've grasped some of the lingo along the way. She serves on the advisory board for David W. Carter's High School Academy of Information Technology and the Dallas ISD Industry Leadership Council. Dr. Hall's professional memberships include Project Manage Institute, Scrum Alliance, National Society of Leadership, and NAF, which is the National Association for Female Executives. That's amazing. She's served as a technological guest speaker for events such as the National Conference in 2005, Women in Technology, and the Washington State Federal Way School District, mentoring students and staff in the area of STEM. And for those of you that don't know, STEM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Maths, something that's not traditionally thought of as a female area of expertise. But I'm here to tell you there are so many amazing women and girls working in this field, and I like to talk to them as often as I can possibly get them on this show. Now, Dr. Hall has been involved with speaking worldwide about advancing STEM, and her knowledge and area of technology has afforded her the opportunity to travel to Europe, India, and around the United States, leading technology initiatives for financial corporations. Dr. Hall is married with two kids and has three beautiful granddaughters. Her personal philosophy is God first, family second, and the remaining components of life will align, and they do. She strongly believes faith and endurance are key factors in obtaining goals and exceeding expectations. She loves to read, write, dance, listen to music, and enjoy motorcycle rides. And I'm going to ask her a little bit about that in a moment. Good evening, Dr. Vanessa. I almost said good afternoon. I'm in Australia. Dr. Vanessa's in the US. How are you?
Hello, Tony. Radio Tony. I'm excited to be here. I am wonderful.
That's good news. Now, I want to delve a little bit into how you got to this point in time. So can you share with the audience about growing up? And I also want to touch on your point about CNN's reference to the town that you grew up in. So tell me about it, Vanessa.
Yes, this journey has been an exciting one. I would trade it for the world, Tony. It started in Lake Providence, Louisiana, actually Shreveport, Louisiana, where I was born. We ended up moving to Lake Providence, Louisiana, because my father's father passed and he was going to help his mother. And we ended there, and I grew up there, a small town in the Delta. CNN, racist yeah. town. It's the most disenfranchised place in America.
Yes.
Most unequal place yes. in America. And there's a, you know, a little sly saying that people say, can anything good come out of Lake Providence? And I'm here to say that it can. I just always believed, my parents were educators. They always taught us that the key is education. That one thing you can have in life
Absolutely.
That no one can take away is your education, your knowledge, and your drive. And they brought, you know, they brought seven kids up with that philosophy. They raised us mm-hmm. to love people, to love God first, and to love people, and to treat everybody with respect, and to do our best. And that's the base mm-hmm. they gave us. And I thank God for that. They gave us that base of life. And so I started there in high school, started realizing I wanted to do something in the engineering field. And my father
wow.
kept saying civil. But I went into
yeah.
he was sort of right.
Yeah.
All the highways are really growing in the States. So, but I went into mechanical. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. when I graduated, I was working a part-time, of course, to carry myself through college. I entered on scholarship, but I needed extra. And so I was working yeah. off of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Louisiana. And my manager said, Vanessa, you have such, you know, so many technical skills. I'd like to connect you yes. with Blue Cross Blue Shield in Texas. And they have a yes. training program. They're taking you in. I said, I don't have any experience. She said, that's okay. They'll train you. So that's where yes. I started my career as a software engineer. And I worked
wow.
there. Yeah, I worked there for years. And then I moved on into Sprint in the telecom industry. And my career just yeah. really began to expand from there. It has been a lot of learning because being yes. Raised in a small town, everyone counted me out. They said, yes. you won't be able to compete because you haven't had the educational awareness, the books you guys been studying from, they haven't been up to date. You won't be able to compete, but I'm here to say you can. You can. And so that's my story.
Girls can do everything, can't they?
Yes, yes. You can do. That's my message. I call myself on bringing up the steam for STEM with women.
Yes.
Making it hard and heavy. To let people know when they're in those disenfranchised areas, doesn't matter yeah. the heart of what you would love to do. Always focus yeah. on the heart of what you would love to do. And I always want to give back because I didn't always have that. I didn't always yeah. have that person telling me, you can do it from whence you came. I kind of had yeah. the opposite with people on the outside saying you can't survive in this field because you don't have whatever availability to everybody. You don't have the resources. And so I yeah. want to make a different change in this world. I want to help those that feel that way. I go into the DISD school systems here, mainly in the southern sector where there mm-hmm, is disenfranchisement. Mm-hmm. And that's why I spend all of my time giving hope to those children. Giving a direction.
Yeah.
There's some great talent in there. You never count anyone out because of diversity. Everybody deserves a chance. So that's what has driven me to love the volunteership and the sponsorship and the mentorship and coaching that yeah. I do for these kids. I see so much of myself in them. And I want to make sure that they have the opportunity to grow and they know. I had to feel my way because I didn't even know what this field was. You know, yes. it's like, okay, what am I going to yes, do? Yes. You know, I haven't been exposed. Exposure is so critical. Yeah. And so I yeah. get in there yeah. and I go on my first project and I'm all wound up. And my manager yeah. is saying, you got to get some skin in this. Yeah, to stay in this game. It's a male-dominated field. My first director, Jim Clay, I give him a lot of credit for my success. He was tough. And they said, oh, my God, you're going to work for Jim Clay. And Jim Clay taught me so much in the beginning of how to have a tough skin, I would say, in the business, how to know my voice, how to sit there. If I know something, don't sit at the table and not speak up. Because in this industry, you're finding male dominated, and no disrespect to our male counterparts, but just that unconscious bias. When you sit there, you can be in the room and you can keep saying something over and over, and they just keep talking like they haven't hurt you. And then you come right back to your point, you know? And so that's what Jim Clay taught me. It's going to be tough in this business. And I'm so glad I got that on my first entry into technology.
Yeah.
Because he didn't sit and treat me like, I would say, had to babysit me. He put me on some of the toughest, most challenging projects Blue Cross had when they first transitioned from plastic cards to paper cards. I am the technologist who wrote that program and installed that for Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas. Yes. He gave me that opportunity. And he was like, sink or swim. So that's what I love about the field of technology, the challenge. Every day is different. Every day is different. Yeah. And I love
it. Yeah. Dr. Vanessa, as an Australian looking in on America, I talk to Americans all the time. My shows are all based in America, but I still feel like there's such a long way to go in terms of equality in America. Am I misreading the situation? Like, I talk to amazing women like you that are doing phenomenal work in encouraging girls into non-traditional areas like science, technology, maths, etc. But do you feel like it's changing? Are you getting anywhere is my question, because sometimes I hear some of the rhetoric and it makes my skin crawl, and it usually comes from the southern states within America. And I would really like to know from your perspective, is it changing? Is there hope?
There's a twofold answer. It is changing.
Yes.
Slowly.
Yes. Yes.
I'm always hopeful. So there is hope in the South, in the Southern area where Lake Providence, where I am originally from, it's changing much slower. You know, it's still that need to branch out in that area because exposure and opportunity is not available there as it should be. That's the pledge to try to get even that area up to speed. But even where I sit in Dallas right now, there's still the struggle of equality in pay. You may hire in and they might say, okay, we're going to give you an opportunity, but your male counterparts will still be paid more than you will be, you know. So we still have that problem of you know, pay equality, job opportunity. We still have the fight, which is why SHEIO is so important. You know, SHEIO is into PNC now, PNC Project 257. Yes. And I am an activator for PNC in that aspect. And it just, you know, it hardens my heart to feel like it's 257 years. That's why that project is 257. Yes. Because of the research standard, it takes 257 years for the female to have equality to the male. That's just That is not okay. And so we as women and men, the men have to fight for us too. It has
support,
to be
a
collaboration between the two of looking at your worth, your aptitude, your experience, all of that. Everything a person. And that's what we have to get. I know we have a long road, but on all aspects, far as your diversity with African American to Indian or just women of color, we sit at 5% of the workforce in IT. that is just not acceptable. So it's not, I am it's on the path, blowing steam, raising it up, trying to.
Thank goodness for that.
Yes. And you know, Tony, that is, I know that's another reason why I give it 150%. Any role I have been given, or, you know, I applied for and I was hired to do.
Yes.
I just worked hard. I didn't want them to say a female couldn't handle it, because that would destroy the path for everybody behind me.
Yes.
I'm always thinking of the path behind me. That is so critical to me.
Absolutely.
Who am I bringing along? That's my plight, you know, in life, is who am I bringing along with me? And I dare fail when I'm given an opportunity. I remember going into London, and actually into Bristol and Yates to do a conversion. Yes. And there were only two women at the table. Three. One African-American.
Yeah.
One Asian.
Yes.
And one Caucasian woman at the table. And I tell you, out of all the people in the room, those three women led the charge. And I made a commitment in everything I do, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, because if I fail, that means I fail for my entire female nation, I call it. So I've got to be sure I'm on top of things. Yes.
Yeah. Janessa, African-American women have a really long and proud history of being leaders within the STEM field. If you look at some of the women from the 60s who were involved in the analytics and mathematical sequencing around some of the aerospace technology, so like you girls rock it in that space. Yes. To use a pun, don't you? Like there's a really amazing genetic and female line of African-American women working phenomenally well in this space. So we need to be part of the amplification of just what you girls are capable of.
I know. And I feel that so much, Tony. We really rock in this field. Every African-American woman that I've met in this field, they excel, they are optimal in their processes, and I call it, they're at the top of their games. I have to share this story. And 25 years ago, I entered, I told you I left Blue Cross and went to Sprint. That was my second stop. And I went to Sprint because Sprint was coming with all this new technology. I wanted to grow my career. And I met three amazing African-American women, and we are still tied by the hip today. We all are still in. One has retired from the field of technology. The other two are still. They are very, experienced women in the field. They both are directors. So we keep a relationship. We meet every other week and have a girls' day, pray for each other, talk, network. We, after 25 years, we still have this connection.
That's amazing.
We all have excelled. So that shows you the strength of the African-American female. But I tell you a story. We all had to really struggle. You would go in and you would say, I wonder why I didn't, and then no feedback. And then you see the person who got the opportunity. You're like, well, I'm happy for him, but I know I, you know, probably should have landed that job. So that's what we struggle with. And it all comes from network. A lot of times you find out the ones who are getting moved up, the male counterparts, you know, they spend some time on the golf course together. They develop a relationship. We don't have that opportunity. So we have to focus on that in corporate now to say, if you don't have that opportunity to golf, you still need to find some time to communicate and collaborate with the female in the workplace to build a relationship.
Yeah.
So we've kind of started things like shadowing, you know, individuals, or, you know, setting up checkpoint calls with them. there has to be some creative way to develop that, because nine times out of 10, we're not going to go golf with them, you know?
I don't mind golf, but like, it's kind of either, boring, but,
you know,
really,
but... what are the chances that I'm going to go, you know, golf with the person who's going to give me the next opportunity at my organization? Yeah. So that's pretty unlikely. It may happen, but, you know, we have to find those creative ways to understand each other. Yeah. I think talking and the conversation means a whole lot when you have a conversation and understand each other. And I love my male counterparts, because 30 years in this business, I wouldn't have been provided opportunities if it hadn't been from the male counterpart.
For them. Yes. Yeah. That's part of the conversation too, isn't it, Dr. Vanessa, that we need male champions of change. So we can do a lot, and women can create a lot and be, it's extraordinary within their field. But unfortunately, we're still in the time and place where we need those male champions of change, so to speak, to help further the cause of women in STEM, don't we?
Exactly. And that's some of the things we do work on, and especially with Crossroads, when I'm working through STEM presentations with the school district, I'm always trying to reach out and make sure I have a male counterpart with me to even stress that point of how we have to support our females in the field and not feel like they can be in this field, but they can't rise to the level that the male has.
Dr. Vanessa, do the young girls and young women realize the pathway that you and the women that have gone before you have forged in this area? Do they understand that there's such a strong and powerful cohort of women that have paved the way for them? Do they understand, or do they just not think about the whole cohort of STEM roles and jobs that they can do and love and could be incredible at? Does it just not enter their thought, or is it just about keeping on talking about women in STEM?
Tony, you know, that's a great question. And I think it has two answers. I think they don't know about the network, how big or how small. And then I think we as women probably need to do a little bit better at socializing the network and the availability that's there. You know, I hear young women when I talk to them, well, how do I connect with a lady in technology or a female in tech? How do I do that? You know, I don't even know. If you wouldn't have come and had this presentation with us, I wouldn't know you. So it would really be nice to have a well-known network of women in the technology field, like when people know how to go for anything else they need, you know, go to this site for cleaning services, go to this site for, you know, mechanics. It would be nice to have that, where it would be like a day in the life deal or something, that a woman would be there to guide the individual. Because a lot of times these young women, they think technology means, and sometimes it does, means sitting behind the desk coding. I have coded. So sometimes it means coding. Sometimes it can mean doing reporting. You can work in an area where all you do is, you know, provide reports and strategize for the organization, see the numbers. There's that side of the business. There's the leadership side. There's the project management side, where you can manage projects. There's so much in technology. You can work for and STEM. You can go work for a car dealership and be an engineer and, you know, in the manufacturing area and work on engines. You can design. You can do so much. Yes. Technology rules the world, you know. For example, when the systems went down at the airlines, nobody could catch a flight because the systems were down. So you can work for the airlines. You can make
sure
their
systems are up and going. Engineers fix that, don't they?
Yes, exactly.
Engineers fix those problems. Engineers.
That's it. So they need to understand all of the different aspects. Some individuals don't know there's an entity of architecture and infrastructure where you're building the systems for the company.
Yes.
So those type of ideas, when I share those, they're saying, well, I didn't know those existed. There's robotics, you know, there's a strong robotics.
Yes, robotics.
Yes.
How exciting is that?
Yes.
So robotics and AI are really coming into their own, and they will be a huge part of technology and everyday life going forward, won't they? They're hugely exciting fields.
Yes. And we need to share this information and show the roadmap. That's the one thing a young lady said to me. I don't know the roadmap. I don't know how to get there.
Yeah.
You know, I see where you are. What's the roadmap? And that's she brought out such a great point that day. I am working. I have a program that I present called the Inner Wind. And it is the roadmap. So that's what I'm developing in that program, is a roadmap. Because she's like, I have no clue how to get there. I know where I want to go.
Yeah.
How do I get there? So I have the Inner Wind program is awesome. I went into Washington State with it. It gives the roadmap, but it also teaches that the inner wind, when your heart is into it, that's when you truly win.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the road to Tech STEM, my heart is in it. Your heart has to be in what you do, and you have to love it to really excel and shine. So that's the message I would give to the young ladies. Have your heart in the process. So that's what I've been sharing along the way.
I was just going to say, a lot of your work now is in sharing with young women and girls about the roadmap and about how you've got to where you are and about how they can do it. And you're open to, you know, mums of teenage girls connecting with you and saying, oh, I think my daughter might have the aptitude or the interest in one of these areas. And you can point them in the right direction, can't you?
Yes, yes. And that's what I love doing, Tony, through my organization, is providing the young women with the tools, with the network, with the roadmap, with the drive. Such important aspect of making decisions is having someone to bounce it off of. I sit and I coach and make sure that they make the decisions. You're not going to talk them through it, but having someone there to say you can do it, it's so critical. And actually having someone they can come to that will speak from a place of, you know, truth to them.
Yes.
Instead of, you know, this hunt and peck game. I know when I was coming through, it was like a hunt and peck. You go to these functions and you try to get the answer, and everybody's talking and doing, and you leave and you go, I didn't get as much as I wanted to get from that. Such, I always opt to make my sessions full of meat, I call it. I want you to leave with the nuggets that have true direction for you. If they don't leave with the nuggets that give a path forward, then I failed at what I've tried to do. I don't want them to leave with a bunch of talk. Oh, you this, you that. No, I want them to leave with, I need to go do 1, 2, 3. I need to look this up. Give them ideas. Go research this.
Because for them to have a clear understanding of where they want to go, they first need to know, well, I'm going to need to study this subject, or I'm going to need to research what that actually looks like and see if I'm really interested in it. And I'm guessing that that can be fraught with a lot of decision making for younger women looking at going into these, because there's a wide range of subjects now, and they probably need to do that research that you're talking about to find out which one lights up their life. And for some girls, that's mathematics, isn't it? For some girls, that might be engineering. For some girls, that might be science. Yes. And it's about finding that love, joy, passion, and what lights them up, and sometimes that's just giving them a set of questions to go or subjects to research until they find, oh my goodness, that's so exciting. And it might be robotics, for instance, or it might be computing, whatever it is, that's they need to find that out before they go too far down the track, don't they? Particularly where external study is important to get them from where they want to go.
Exactly. And that's what we got them on, is how that roadmap to actually do just exactly what you just said, yes, to take them from point, yes, A, B to Z to get them to the end of the road. Yes.
Yeah. Dr. Vanessa, I'm curious to know, with you've got an amazing amount of credentials and study behind you, what was one of the key factors that determined or drove you down the path of getting a doctorate? I'm just curious, did you feel like you needed to learn more, or did you just want to have that and say, yeah, I did that? Because it's a lot of study, totally, isn't it?
You got some great questions. Yes, it is. And you answered. I really did it because I love technology. So I wanted to, yes, position myself to really be able to perform in the area of strategy, because that's where, yeah, I love to be, in that area of strategy. So that was one reason.
Yeah.
The second reason is, mm-hmm, I wanted to say, I've done it.
Yeah.
I finished the course. Yeah. I've always wanted to finish the course. And so, yeah, your terminal degree is finishing the course of technology.
Yes.
So I wanted to do that. I love the program when I looked into it, because it provided such an amazing landscape. The program was, it was everything. I mean, it provided,
yes,
the strategic side, the marketing,
yes,
side,
yes,
the educational side. It provided thought process. And I never thought about sitting in a park and observing people to even come up with a technology paper. We had to do that one time.
Yes.
To go sit,
yes,
in a,
yes,
park.
Yeah.
And so those things that just kept our minds so intrigued. I just really love the idea of excelling. Like I said, my mom and dad were educators. And,
yeah,
so that was just one thing they drilled into us. But the main reason was to have the doctorate, to have it to solidify myself in the profession, and also,
absolutely,
position myself for strategic roles, and to be able to just look at things. It gives you a whole different perspective, that degree. You're able to look out across. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, level strategic, yes, thought process is,
yes,
quite different from,
yes,
the everyday thought process. And having talked to you a number of times, I know that that is where your passion lies, is that strategic. This is where we want to go. How do we get that? How do we get more people there? And,
yes,
what is that roadmap? And I love that word roadmap, because it just, it is what it sounds like. It's a step-by-step process of how do we achieve this? How do we do that? How do we get more girls doing this,
yes,
sort of work? All of those things. And that comes from that higher strategic level, that government level, I guess you could say,
yes,
and that perspective, that overall perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I came from a small town too, so I,
okay,
didn't realize that I had, just because I grew up in a small town, I didn't realize that I had such a limited perspective on the wider world. And that doesn't happen until you go out of the small town, does it? And you don't,
exactly,
realize until you get out of the small town.
Exactly.
And then you can go back. Then you can go back and do lots of things, but you need to get out of the small town, because there's a small town mentality that is not helpful in creating change and impact across the world. And that's very much what you're,
yes,
about, isn't it, Dr.
Yes.
Vanessa, that change and global impact and making sure that we change things for the girls that come behind, yes, us. One of the other things that I wanted to ask you about was your time on the advisory board for STEM in Dallas.
Oh, I love the time on my advisory board. We just met Saturday. I love the school
Yes.
I am with. We are working. We had a STEM program the other day, and it was just dynamite. We had so much participation. The kids are learning so much in the NAF program. Yeah. I had a young man in the class. They participated so much. He answered so many questions. He won the gift card and everything. But I love that work. We go in. What we do every year, our main goal is to prepare them for internships. We have several companies who have partnered with us to grant the high school students paid internships, not just internships, paid.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's but pretty special, isn't it?
Isn't that awesome? But they have to meet certain requirements. So the advisory board, we really focus in on making sure they have the resume writing skills, their resumes are prepared. Yes. We do mock interviews with them. We help them prepare those resumes. We take them out, show them how to dress for the interview. We walk with them all the way through this process. The resumes are due in January. They get to interview in March. And then they find out if they have the job in April. It's an awesome experience to see their faces light up. And even for those students that don't say they don't want the opportunity, we have a chance to coach them and understand why they don't. You know, Tony, I found out one day that a young lady, she really wanted to, but she didn't think she was going to be able to, you know. She thought she wasn't able to. She wanted to. And we finally got to the bottom of it. And so we're able to coach. We work with a great group of people there that spearhead NAF. And they bring in all these processes and programs. And we go by that schedule and we work things out. We go into the schools now, you know, virtually every week. And we have like a Wednesday round with the kids. To kind of just, you know, give them insights on things, see what they need, tell them what's going on in the industry. We have several partners with us. We have partners from Verizon and other companies that sit on that board with me. And we're really dedicated to helping the kids understand their potential and helping them reach it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a journey.
Yeah, I was just thinking those kids that go through the program and perhaps aren't successful in getting an internship, that's still really wonderfully helpful life skills. So if you just that simple teaching them how to dress for an interview and how to behave in an interview, they are incredibly important life skills without anything else. Because, you know, those are skills that you can learn. Those are skills that you can be taught. And once you've learned those skills, you'll use them your entire life, won't you?
Exactly. Those soft skills are so critical to your advancement. Yeah. And we try to teach the students that. And we have some awesome students. A lot of them don't, you know, we've been working through the internet access and the technology tools they need, but we have some awesome students. And yes, those soft skills, I've seen them develop. That's the beauty, is seeing them when you start and then seeing them as you walk with them on this journey and you work with them in the soft skill space. That it's just amazing.
Dr. Vanessa, in as you've noticed, the start of the show, our internet across Australia is not always reliable and helpful. What's the internet situation across the US? Does everyone have access to reasonable internet? What's it like? I don't think I've had the opportunity to ask someone that before. I'm always complaining about the state of Australia internet because sometimes... Yeah, because Australia's internet is sometimes
we have great internet in the States.
Yeah.
Now, Lake Providence, where I'm from, is sketchy. But still, they're coming along, and they have. Last time I was there, I was able to log on and work. So that's, you know, a plus. And then
that's I'll good. Show
you, where's my little nifty? I have my little nifty hot spot.
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's another deal. My little hot spot. You know, it travels with me everywhere. I can't find my hotspot bag, but when I'm traveling, I have it with me. It's probably in my backpack right now.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yes.
So internet is a great thing.
Because I wondered in terms of kids and kids from, small towns, because internet these days is so critical to education, learning, connectiveness, and even if they are in a small town, they still should be able to access the information and the people that they need to connect to and talk to make decisions around, you know, what they're going to study and et cetera, et cetera. So it's good to know that that's pretty good across the US.
It's
before
good.
We run it's out of time, something.
I want to say it's good, Tony, but the affordability is the issue.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Right.
So that's what we have to work on in our community is helping those who can't afford to have the internet afford it. Yeah, to provide it. Yes.
Okay. Because in this day and age, fundamentals like food, water, shelter, the internet almost comes into play there as an essential in this day and age. I didn't realize that there was, affordability issues. Good to know that those things are starting to, hopefully improve. One of the questions I wanted to ask you is, what is something that's exciting you within the technological world at the moment? What's something that's really exciting you besides the wonderful work that you do? Because I know that lights you up. What else? Is there some innovation that you've seen recently that you went, oh my goodness, that is so exciting?
Yes, I'm always intrigued by the digital space and the robotic space. Those are the two spaces that I have seen. Oh my God, the robotic.
Aren't they amazing?
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
So I've had an opportunity to see someone build a robot.
Yes.
And that's amazing. And then the work of just digital systems, the speed to market products that we do now in the banking industry with, digital products.
Yes.
And you can just have your bank access on your phone. It's just, dynamite to me. Yeah.
I have to agree. I'm a lover of all things technology. And I watched something the other day where they were working with robotics for people that had amputated legs or arms for whatever reason. And the robotics and the programming of the robotics was able to tap into the energy generated by the brain and instruct the robotic hand, I think it was. The brain instructed the robotic hand exactly what it had to do. Like, how exciting is that?
Amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah.
I am so excited about the advancements we have made. It is just astronomical. I even think about the AI as you can be.
Yes.
Have you ever been passing by a store that you shopped at and all of a sudden your phone, Kohl's has a sale? to know where you are and to give you some sales and to know you like that store.
Yes.
Data is ruling the world right now. Data, the analysis of data.
Yeah. I actually look at, I've had this conversation before. One of my dreams as a little girl was to have one of those Jetsons rockets that adapts from one place to the other. And I'm thinking that we might just see that in our lifetime where we have, little self-propelled I don't know, cars or whatever you would call them to get you from one place to another. That sort of stuff excites me. Do you think that we'll see some of that stuff? I don't think that that's too far away, surely.
I think we will. I know we will. I tell you, my father was ahead of himself. He was an architect, but he loved inventions. He loved designing. And he left me a design before he passed years ago. It's been years. Wow. And I promise you, I've seen someone almost get there. I'm like, oh my God, I should have done this. But he had the design for for a transportation. There's these little cars. And his concept was like, if you're blowing a pee through a straw, and it would be underground, and you could go like from Dallas to Houston in 10 minutes.
Yes.
With the speed, force of air.
Life changing.
And I know they're going to do that. So that,
well, see, was, that gives me goosebumps.
He was ahead of his time. So I have that still.
And why that excites me so much is because, as you know, Australia is right down underneath the bottom of the world in the middle of nowhere. And for us to get anywhere decent, like for me to fly to you in Dallas, is like a 24-hour at least flight, transfer, drive kind of combo. Imagine if we had transport that got us there in 4 hours. That would be life-changing. I could go, hey, Vanessa, I'm coming for dinner. I'll see you soon. Like, wouldn't that be amazing? That excites me. That excites
it's going to
me.
Get there. We the will get prospect. There. Yeah. We will get there.
I think so. Qantas is Australia's most prominent airline, and they have been playing in that space for a little while. They are not that fast yet, but they are hoping to launch 17-hour, 15-hour flights directly from Australia to North America or the UK. At the moment, it takes, 24 hours. But, like, to be able to bring that time down, and be able to connect and meet, that just excites me beyond all measure. And that's all technology-based, isn't it? All of that innovation, all of those robotics, all of that takes people to do computer programming, to do engineering, to study science, to know the maths. Damn. It all comes back to STEM.
All of it's the STEM for STEM.
The world, yes, absolutely. And by encouraging this, imagine if one of the girls that you mentored or encouraged to go into STEM, imagine if she created something that ended breast cancer. Imagine if one of your students created those little rocket ships that we've been talking about. Imagine if they discovered the technology for people to live on spacecraft orbiting the world on a continuous basis. Like, doesn't that excites me? And that excites me just talking to you. So I can't imagine what it does for your soul being in the STEM environment all the time.
My living would not have been in vain. That's all I can say.
Yes. Very exciting. And you've got granddaughters as well. So I've got a grandson. I dearly love a granddaughter, but the grandson is just perfectly divine as it is. But for our granddaughters, and hopefully one day I'll have a granddaughter, but for our granddaughters, it's an important vision for us to have, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, for our granddaughters, that's what I want to be. I see my granddaughters, and one is 6 now, and she's beginning to understand. She is absolutely captivated. She listens to my meetings sometimes. She wants to.
To
participate. Yes. So they are understanding.
They're like. And their brains are like sponges. And if we can implant or give them access to those bigger conversations and spur their imagination from that very young age, we'll change the future as we see it.
We will
believe that we will.
I believe that with all my heart, Tony, that we would change the future if we change it one person, a concept at a time. We don't have to have everybody and everything, but we do need to make an impact. Yeah. And that's my love and my drive. And I would continue in this work. To add, I'm going to have a grandson in April. So,
oh, you will love that. You will love that. There's something really special about grandsons and their love for. I'm Nana. So my grandson goes, Nana and Poppy, we are. And my grandson goes, we have these special little times, and he'll come up to me and he'll spend all his time with Poppy because he's a boy's boy and he loves, you know, exploring and finding out things and learning. But then he'll come back inside and he'll want quiet, snuggle time with Nana. And it is just the most blessed time. And yes, his little brain just takes in everything from how dragonflies fly to why anthills eat ants, why ant lions eat ants, like just everything, why worms wriggle, why goats bark, like anything in between. So they are a delight, Vanessa, an absolute delight. Yes. We are almost out of time, and I want to remind the audience that if you or someone you know wants to find out anything about STEM and how to make sure you get into STEM, or if you have an interest in science, technology, engineering or maths, I encourage you to reach out to Dr. Vanessa. Do you want to just quickly in the last minute, Dr. Vanessa, tell us about your website and the STEM Inner Win program, just quickly if you can, in case we have parents with high school students listening today.
Okay, perfect. Yes, the Inner Win program, you can reach out on www.crossroadsitg.com or email me at drvhall@crossroadsitg.com. Our new hashtag we're adopting is #StrongSTEMGirls for 2022.
Oh, yay!
And I will have that posted to my Facebook page, my Crossroads Facebook page. And you guys can go out and visit that and know how to contact me. Please reach out on LinkedIn and on Facebook. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes.
But I love
and to we'll catch make you. Sure all those connections are attached to this interview wherever you're watching it. If you're watching it live, they'll be coming up in the chat box right now. If you're watching this as a post show, all the notes attached to this show will have Dr. Vanessa's contact details, and I encourage you to connect and talk to her about anything STEM related, particularly if you have a girl in high school and want to get her into STEM. Dr. Vanessa, we are out of time. It has been a delight to have you on the show today. I'm so appreciative of your time and your expertise in talking to me today and enriching the audience with your STEM knowledge and understanding. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony, for having me. It was an honor and a pleasure. Be blessed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I look forward to talking to you again in the future. That, my wonderful audience, is your lot for this week. I'm actually on a week off next week, so we will have a replay show. We might even replay Dr. Vanessa's show again next week, just simply because I'm so passionate about technology and where we're going in the future. And the more times we boom out the message about the importance of STEM and getting girls into STEM, the better off our world will be. Dr. Vanessa Hall, thank you so much for today. And bye, everyone. We'll see you next week. Thank you. Bye.